And that's obviously what I see. So what I want to speak to and close out the series for this month, which is, I almost switched it up. And if I would have switched it up, you would have had nothing to see on the screen, but then I almost didn't care. And then the worship, I almost just got on the keyboard. I still can. Don't threaten me with a good time. Don't threaten me with a good time. So, but I still think that what God will have me to share today is going to be a great way to close out the head start on Kingdom Business for this month. So this is Unfinished Business Part 2. I actually taught some of this maybe years ago, and this is part two because I didn't finish it. And so this is, everybody say Unfinished Business Part 2. All right. And so if you can turn to Acts chapter 2, this message is for everybody. All right. Thank you for that volume. Unfinished Business Part 2, Acts chapter 2. And you know when you're reading in Acts, it's going to be Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. What the world needs now is Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Amen. Acts chapter 2 reads, ready, set, go. In the last days. How many feel like we're in the last days? Or it feels like it. It feels like we're in the last days or in the last of the last days. Are we in the fourth quarter or are we in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter? All right. So I won't stop this time. So y'all read with me. All right. Ready, set, go. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will what? Prophesy. Your young men will do what? Dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will what? Dream dreams. Do not miss this, guys. What you're reading. I know it's not on the screen because it's somewhat of a switch up, a last minute switch up. But in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all people. Everybody say all people. One generation will see visions. The other generation will dream dreams. In other words, God is speaking to two generations. That's the common denominator. He's speaking to the young. He's speaking to the old. But one generation is actually will see visions, which is the younger generation. And it actually comes from a Greek word called horaces or orices. Everybody say orices. Everybody say horaces. It's one of the two, all right? Or maybe both, depending on the how you pronounce it. But one generation would actually see visions. The next generation, the old men, will dream dreams. And it comes from a Greek word called enipnia. Everybody say enipnia. Come on, exercise your mouth today and your jaws. Everybody say enipnia. This generation is hearing from God, but that Greek word is referencing hearing from God in your sleep. Young men hear from God with their eyes open. Another generation hear from God in their sleep. So when you call grandma and grandpa, you say, what you doing? They're going to probably say, I'm what? I'm sleep. Because that generation deserves to be at rest. In other words, you hear from God in the years where you are resting. Make sense? Enipnia. You are hearing from God in your sleep. So God is speaking to both generations, but it's two different postures. Amen. Younger generation, you hear from God and your eyes is open. The older men, you hear from God in your sleep. I want to go to sleep. I'm kind of jealous of that generation. Amen. First of all, I don't get enough sleep and I want to hear from God even more. Bottom line today is churches, marriages, businesses, and the house of Judah. Let's this year in 2025, really in life, you in life as a student, as a marriage, as a business. I'm thinking about how many businesses, at least me and Lex, thinking about how many new businesses we can start this year. Bottom line today, let's finish strong. Everybody say finish strong.
Finish strong.
Number two, everybody say stay hungry. I have no issue with that in the flesh. Number three, everybody say make it count. Everybody say make it count. John 9:4 says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can what? Work. So everybody in this room, this is a message for everybody in this room, because it is day for all of us, because we can see day, we can experience day, and we got some work to do. Amen. Today's title is Unfinished Business. So work the work of him. There's a song that I've been putting on repeat lately. It's by Dallas Fort Worth Mass Choir. And I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. Well, y'all bobbing y'all heads like I'm doing something. Don't y'all threaten me with a good time. I mean, y'all did it in concert. Have y'all heard that song? And that's how I learned that scripture, through that song. But our anchor scripture today, Unfinished Business Part 2, is Joshua 13. If you remember this a few years ago, you remember how I landed this plane or gave you guys encouragement through the scripture. I think it was during a special day. When Joshua had grown old, read this with me. The Lord said to him, you are now very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. By the way, this is what year of House of Judah as it relates to our anniversary? This is year is at least 19 years, right? 20, 24, almost 25 maybe. So just correct me if I'm wrong. We're coming up upon 25 years. And by the way, in church years, that's not old. In church years, it's a long time, it's longevity, but if we're coming upon 25 years, then we've been here for a while. We're established, amen? And we're known in the community. And so I want to lift that for a certain reason. Repeat this with me. The opportunity of a lifetime is found in the lifetime of the opportunity. In other words, there's an expiration date on opportunities. There's an expiration date on getting it done. And so we do have an opportunity here at the House of Judah. We have an opportunity in our businesses. I'm not just talking to us here at the House of Judah. I'm talking to us as couples, as students, as whatever you want to do in life, whatever. I know if the word is true in the scripture we just read, God is speaking to all of us in this room. He is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. He is speaking to all of us something. I don't know what it is. But I will say, if he told you to do something, the opportunity of a lifetime is found in the lifetime of the opportunity. Imagine if I had an hourglass and I turned it over, and what's going to happen to the sand at the top? And then when it gets and it finishes from the top, what happens? That means time is what? Time is up. So this message also is not a discouraging message for the seasoned saints, so don't get it twisted. This is encouragement for all that's living. Amen? Organizations, marriages, this ain't Thanksgiving season. Eat your leftovers. We shouldn't finish the day with any leftovers. Amen? Don't purposefully leave anything on the table. Amen. If this is the season to go to that individual, uncle, daddy, mama, grandma, and ask for forgiveness, you just do it, guys. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive. Amen. This is not Thanksgiving season. No leftovers. Don't leave any food on the plate. Amen. Turn to Matthew 9. Matthew 9 says, Matthew 9, I don't think I have it on the screen. This is how. I've been switching up a little bit all the way on the way here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 says, y'all know this if you hear it, if you don't know the passage, it says the harvest is what? Plentiful, but the laborers are few. 25 years at House of Judah. Look around. of who's not here, not necessarily because they decided to not come or go anywhere else, but there's some people that want to be here and they're not here because God called them on. So perhaps the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few because the laborers are not even, they're not with us anymore. Or the laborers are few because the retired should be retired and they should have a different position in getting kingdom business done. They should not be out in the fields picking fruit right now. And y'all know what that means, right? Okay. I almost said cotton, but that's the wrong context. that wouldn't over well. So if you are a certain age, you should be enjoying life. I'm rooting you on because I'm going to be there one day. You should be enjoying life. That's how it's supposed to be set up. Even the Levites in the Bible didn't serve kingdom business forever. The Bible says in the Old Testament, when they got a certain age, they handed it off. Amen. I just saw a prominent, I'm not going to, recently said, you know what? Hey, if I mimic his voice, you'll know exactly who it is, but I'm not going to say his name. He said, hey, don't be surprised. You're going to see me fishing, playing golf, trying to play golf because, man, I've served this church for 50 years. He should. There's another pastor that I called this week, and I was, you know, checking on him in Gastonia. And to my surprise, he says, I'm not the bishop anymore. I said, oh, that happened quick. He said, no, that actually did not happen quick. He said, I retired in December. And so I handed it off to XYZ. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Perhaps the laborers are few because the harvest requires a certain skill set. This is a message for all of us in this room. But for some of us, we need this reminder. Respect who God is using, no matter how strong or weak their legs are. So this is a balanced message because we got to respect whoever God is using, whoever God is speaking to, no matter how strong or weak their legs are. This is a message to the old saints. God is speaking to the young. All of us. And young people, remember, God is speaking to the old saints. But the common denominator is God is speaking what? To both generations. He is speaking to us all. But obviously one generation is restricted. They're not as agile. The mobility is different. So ask the question, who has the right strategy in our family, at the house of Judah, in this business, in this season, to grow again and to rebuild? Are we going to keep, this is the best I can do, guys, don't throw tomatoes. Are we going to keep the jawbone? Are we going to keep the jawbone? When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, first of all, the Lord said to him, when Joshua had grown old, the Lord did what? He said to him, again, don't miss this important detail. You may lose your ability to move in the natural. Doesn't mean you lose your ability to hear in the spirit. In other words, supernatural. Amen. You may have strong legs, but do you have strong ears? Amen. In other words, can you hear God? Are you spirit led? Amen. I don't care how much you can bench press. Can you hear from God? Young ladies, single ladies in the house, I don't care how strong he is. I don't care how strong his legs. My mom said she married my legs. I take after my daddy's legs, by the way. Stop looking down at my legs. We're in church. Young ladies, I was talking to the young ladies. He may have strong legs, but do he have strong ears? Single ladies, wave your hands, because I'm talking straight to you. Do he have strong ears? Check, strong legs, strong ears. Yeah, you can marry him. There's a generation that needs, that's wise, but they need help. They're wise, but they need help. Amen. They are wise. They have wisdom, but they need help. There's a generation that's strong, but they need what? They need wisdom. The wisdom needs help. The wisdom needs legs, and the legs need what? Wisdom. Amen. So there's room for us all. Y'all can't get that revelation because y'all stuck on the physical legs. y'all, when I say legs, I just took y'all way out. Y'all like, what? Read this with me. Wisdom without movement lacks direction. Without movement, wisdom remains unfulfilled. So there's wisdom givers or wisdom providers, and then there's wisdom producers. I'm producing because of your wisdom. It's your wisdom, but it's my legs. It's my legs, but it's your wisdom. In other words, you have voluntold me what to do. All right. You're basically saying, bro, you need to do this. I've been here before you. You should do this. And we come together and we make it happen. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, this is basically Paul talking to Timothy, and he's encouraging this young leader. Paul is saying, Timothy, I know you're over this church now. You are, you got the goods. It's okay. Paul is encouraging Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. Ready, set, read. Don't let no one look down on you because you are young. But Timothy, you got to do this. Set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. That's why I'm not rushing to do certain things, because if you're going to be in the spotlight, you want to make sure you have character. You want to make sure you have integrity. Amen. So, Timothy, you're young, you're leading, but you need integrity. You need character. I need a volunteer. I don't know who's the strongest, Brother Lawrence or Brother Jerry, but whoever want to fight over that real quick, because I only have 2 seconds because I'm trying to finish this teaching in a certain time. But if you want to come up real quick while I'm trying to say the sentence in one breath, whoever want to fight it out, whoever has the most integrity, because integrity or character, if you could turn to the side, basically integrity. What's the integrity of a bridge? What's the integrity of the chair? What's the integrity of you? Timothy is saying, Paul is saying to Timothy, yes, you're young, you're leading, but you need to have character. Character is basically not easily moved. You have integrity. Make sure I can't knock you down. Okay? He don't have integrity.
I'm the one that dream dreams.
So in other words, he actually let me win. Integrity, y'all clap your hands for. He said, not today, it's cold. In other words, integrity is when something is not easily moved. All of us need integrity, young people, all generations. Timothy, do your thing, but make sure you have integrity. Joshua 13:1, one more time. Read it with me. Ready, set, go. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, you are now very old, and there is still very large areas of land to be taken over. And this is basically a quick summary in 60 seconds, a summary of the land that still remains. Everybody say there's more. Everybody say, there's more for me. Everybody say, there's more for the house of Judah. There's more for my family. Let's say that one again. Say, there's more for my family. There's more for me as a student. This is the summary of the land that still remains. And so the children of Israel at this point already have acquired a lot of territory. And we were there last month. But this is still territory that still remains. Verse number 2, it says, this is the land that still remains. All the regions of what? The Philistines and the Geshurites. Basically, this, just to bring it home to Seneca, South Carolina, basically God is saying, Joshua, you still have unclaimed territory that looks like the Blue Ridge Mountains near Asheville. That's what that's equivalent to. Verse number 3, the land on the east side of Egypt. We were there last month, all the way to the territory of what? Ekron. It's like saying, House of Judah, Alpheus, say your name. Everybody just say your name. Scream your name. Yes. You still have to go get Charleston. Charleston is yours, and you leaving it, you leaving food on the plate. That's equivalent, this territory is equivalent to Charleston, the Canaanite land that held by the Philistine rulers in Gaza. The Canaanite land in the south near the Amorites and the Sidonians. The land in the Byblos area, all of Lebanon to the east, and all the land between Baal Gad to Lebo Hamath. Verse 6, the land in the mountain regions from Lebanon to Misrephoth Mayim. Mayim. Because it's PH. It's like my name. Misrephoth. Okay. That is all the Sidonians. It's basically God is saying, everybody say, House of Judah. Columbia, Greenville, Greensboro, and Charlotte is waiting on you. It's equivalent to those places. So God is talking basically, Alpheus, House of Judah, marriages, businesses, we got some work to do. I want to close out by giving us some strategies. But what is the spirit, what's the tone of God talking to us, or God talking to Joshua? Let me be very clear, because this passage may be descriptive or it may be prescriptive. But I know there's an application to this passage. He is talking to Joshua, but he may not be talking to us in the same manner today. That's a disclaimer. Amen. But he is saying there is some unfinished business. This, you are growing old. There's much land has yet to be conquered. Is this a rebuke? Is it a complaint? Or is it in encouragement? How is God speaking to us today? How is God speaking to Alpheus? I know how he's speaking to the Andersons lately. Amen. Because we're coming upon 20 years of marriage. This church is coming to 25. Your marriage, if I'm 20, I know you guys are 60. No, I'm just kidding. But in other words, God is speaking us to us today. Is this a rebuke? Is this a compliment? Or this is encouragement? Joshua, you are growing old. Can you believe you still have more blessings and promises waiting on you? What does that sound like? Number two, Joshua, I want you to know, just because you are growing old, you are not forgotten. And as a matter of fact, don't forget about this land over here. I promised you, and the promises of God are yea and amen. Put your seeing through wall glasses on. Please just kind of do me a favor. Everybody stand up and face the walls and pretend like you can see through the walls. And as I'm saying this one, in other words, you can see through the walls. You know this territory. You know this land. You know this terrain. You know the houses. You know the streets. You may not know the streets. You know what's around here. You know the grocery stores. You know the places you probably shouldn't go at night. You know the places you probably can go. Have you cleaned your plate? Time is running out. Joshua, have you not redeemed my promise? You know it takes work. Travel, resources, mobility, and you have unclaimed territory. How irresponsible. Look around us. The Andersons, 20 years and you ain't done what? We're going to get it together, baby. We wrote it down. Distractions. We've been distracted in the Anderson household. Y'all may be seated. If I be truly honest, we've been distracted, but it's all right. Because C.S. Lewis says you are never too old to set a new goal and dream a new dream. Dwight Moody says, preparation for old age should, though, begin no later than one's teens. A life which is empty of purpose until 65 will not suddenly become filled on retirement. Interesting, interesting. Three strategies for conquering, winning, and handling unfinished business. Three strategies, real quick. I'm gonna go quick. Y'all get the bottom line. Y'all know we got work to do, amen? But let's hear the strategies. I'm excited about these strategies. I believe if we, guys, money back guaranteed. Okay? These strategies will work for this church, your house, your family. Specifically right now for this church. December 30th. If these strategies, if we implement them and they don't work, money back guaranteed. Amen? I will grill for you. Throw away the jawbone. This is the best I can do. Judges 15 says this is basically Samson, who is a strong generation. He represents a strong generation, or he represents a generation that had or has or had victories with a certain way. He had a victory a certain way, with a certain strategy, with a certain method. Read this with me. Judges 15, verse 15, ready, set, read. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Don't have time to talk about why we are even here, where Samson has to defend himself and do what he need to do with this jawbone. But there's business that has to be done at this point in time in history. Everybody say, there's business. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I have killed. I probably shouldn't come up here. I didn't put no lotion on my ankles. I'm going to come back down. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. With what? With the jawbone. There's a miracle in that. When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone and placed, and that place was called Ramoth Lehi. In the words of Dr. Miles Monroe, why did he throw away the strategy? Let me make this plain. I have how many men before me? Perhaps more. But the Bible records 1,000 men that were actually killed with what? This strategy. I mean, I don't think you understand killing. Let me stay in the front. Killing 1,000 people with this strategy. I mean, killing them. I mean, one by one, 900, 950, 960, 980. Now this strategy right here has become golden. But what did he do with the strategy? He threw it away. In the words of Dr. Miles Monroe, why did he throw away the strategy? It worked. 1,000 men. Surely I need to make sure that I sharpen the jawbone and have it in my back pocket just in case. Miles Monroe says there is another strategy for greatness in this upcoming season. That's perhaps different from the last one. Look at your neighbor and say, are you willing to throw away the jawbone? Number two, strategy number two. So that first strategy is more of a question. Because what worked last season may or may not work this season. Amen. But pack your pew always work. Amen. Or maybe it won't work. Number two, strategy number two. Go get it while you have breath. Joshua, you got some unfinished business. You got territory. You got stuff to do. That's for all of us. Go get it while you have breath. Everybody take a breath. Eat your leftovers when you are hungry. In other words, at the top of the year, we're fresh. It just seems like we're fresh at the bare sheet of things at the beginning. In the beginning, the bare sheet, we're just fresh at the beginning. New diet. We look slim. I started this service by saying y'all look good. I wonder when August hit, what I'm going to say. When I look in the mirror in October, I know what's going to happen. Man, you look like you've been through, bro. Because in the bare sheet, in the beginning, we're fresh. So eat your leftovers we are hungry right now. Amen. Everything is so fresh. Morale may be low in America. But at least you're fresh enough to look morale, you know, the morale in the face and say, I don't know, come what may, I still trust in God. Amen. You know, many of us saying on social media, Man, it's going to be a long 4 years. But right now, you like, what's going to happen on year number four? What you going to be? Just nobody knows the trouble I see. Y'all stay fresh. Amen. Stay prayed up. It's all right. Don't stop yourself from producing by what you see. Leave it to God. Joshua 21. Got to read through this quick. So then the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession and settled there. The Lord gave them the rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. No one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. No one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. No one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Judah failed. Everyone was filled. Psalm 92 says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted in the courts of our God. Even old age, they will still do what? Produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. Last strategy, and I'm finished. Teach, prepare, recruit, collaborate, advise the next generation. Remember, these are three strategies for conquering, winning, and what? Handling unfinished business. 1 Timothy 5. The reason why this teaching is really important, because if you guys look good, like I'm declaring, and you are as respected as from this man of God up here, amen. If I'm respecting everybody in this room, then there's a, what am I trying to say? There is a desire to see what you have to offer the next generation preserved, passed down. You got something special that I just want to bottle up. Y'all saying, after you throwing all these compliments out to me today, what you want from me? I just want an apple pie. That's all. Y'all have something so special that needs to be bottled up. it just needs to be bottled up, in my opinion. 1 Timothy 5 says, do not rebuke an older man. That's what I'm doing right now. But encourage him as you would a father. That's what I'm doing. Younger men as brothers, older men as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. That's why I can give out and dish out these compliments this morning, because it's pure. I don't want nothing from you other than what you have on the inside of you to be bottled up. And let me say it this way. Deuteronomy is basically the strategy that we should have in this season as a church, as an assembly. Y'all okay? All right. Deuteronomy 31. That's why it's money back guaranteed this morning, because it's not my strategy. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12, it says, read this with me, loud and proud. Gather the people together, men and women, and what? Little ones. Why little ones? Because little ones eventually become men and women. So if we just gather men and women and forget about the little ones, the men and women, we won't have little ones. We don't have legacy. And keep reading with me. Don't leave me hanging. And the what? Stranger. And the what? The stranger who is within your gates. Remember this exercise. We went out here and we looked at the wall. We see houses, we see streets, and we see strangers. Deuteronomy says, gather them that they may learn to do what? Fear the Lord. That's what's wrong with America. That's what's wrong. Killings, the shootings, school shootings, church shootings. Marriage is not lasting. Somebody don't fear God. This is our job as a church to fear the Lord your God and do what? Carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it. We know parents are not teaching their kids these days. Amen. It ain't sweet. Amen. Who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord, our God, your God, as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So great application, great takeaway from this. 1 Kings, one of the last scriptures I read today. One of the last, because I'm not sure how many more is on this computer. Amen. 1 Kings 12, there were some older men who had helped Solomon make decisions when he was alive. So King Rehoboam asked these men what he should do. He said, how do you think I should answer the people? Proverbs 20, the glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of old. Did you enjoy this teaching this morning? Y'all see the bottom line? Yes, we have work to do. All of us. All of us have work to do. Why do we have work to do? If you don't like the way this country is headed, stand to your feet. If you think the God that you serve can absolutely do something about it, stand to your feet. If you know he can do something about it, if you don't like what's going on in our schools, that's why this church is praying for schools and young people. Wave your hand. Of course we don't like it. How's it going to change? How is it going to change? How are we going to do what Deuteronomy said? Gather the people, men and women, little ones, and strangers. Strangers is a little rough for me. Strangers, I don't know you. I don't know about that one. It's 2025. You can't trust people. I don't know if I'm going to knock on your door. I'm not sure. So that's a little tough. But they need to hear the word of God, right? They need to learn to fear the Lord God and carefully observe his ways. So how's it going to change? The issue is you should be retired. You should be sitting like this. And I should be the one going talking to strangers. Even though it's a struggle for me to talk to strangers, I will do it. I'm an introvert, extrovert. I actually do talk to strangers. But then when I don't want to, I'll pull the introvert and it's when I need to. But I will, especially if I'm caring. That's the issue. It's not a balance of the two. You should not feel guilty for your posture in this season. Whoever's about to retire. I'm not sure. And somebody in this room, I feel like you're about to retire. Lord has shown me. Your posture should be rest. And you shouldn't feel guilty about it. But what I'm asking you to do is to talk more. And you're not going to tick us off as the younger generation. You can't hide success and you can't hide wisdom. We know it when we see it. Talk to us. Don't just give us your apple pie recipe. I want you to say Alpheus, JJ, Lex, Jeremiah, Taquisha. Tell us, give us that wisdom. Amen. And guess what's going to happen? Again, wisdom needs legs. Legs need what? Wisdom. Do this in your family. Now I'm coming down. In your family, talk to Taquisha. Please don't sit there and let Taquisha self-destruct. What you got to lose? You don't have anything to lose, but you know they have a lot to lose. But this is the season of buddy in. This is the season of buddy in, and I'm going to buddy in. Amen. Wrong is wrong, right is right. Taquisha, nephew, cousin, you're going to die. And you're going to go to hell for a long time if you don't have Jesus. How can I enjoy heaven and God say, you know what? You come on in. But by the way, did you know you had an opportunity to tell XYZ about me? I'm like, can you send me back to earth? Because it's like, oh, that seems like unfinished business. Makes sense? So no leftovers. This church can double in 2025, not in necessarily in size and filling this church, but even in impact and even going out. We can touch 100 strangers this year. I know we can. Just write it down. We want to touch 100 strangers. They may never come here, but we will touch. They will hear the word of God from us. We may set up a grill every third Saturday or every quarter out here. Free hot dogs. Free word of God. And never extend an invitation to come to this church. They hear the word of God out there. We set up another grill. I don't even know this area like that. You probably at a park. Here's the word of God. Apple pie day, free apple pies. I'll pitch in $20 right now. Just save me two. You know they're coming. One taste. You can say, you know, these apple pies are good, but I'm telling you right now, he's sweeter than the honey on the honeycomb. And that's strategies that I don't even have on the screen. Thank you for this teaching of the day. Thank you for speaking to us. We have been encouraged. You have reminded us that we are valuable no matter what age. You have reminded us in this room that we are anointed. We have a lot to offer. We thank you for getting us to the point where we can rest a little bit, that we can retire, that we can kick our feet up. But keep our minds fresh, even when our legs are weak. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for continuing to speak to us on what to do in this church this season to get it done, not so we can brag or boast, but so we can fill up heaven and empty hell. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.